Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. I once read of a man who dreamed he was in heaven. In his dream, he was walking down the golden streets of heaven and enjoying it to the full. Ahead of him, he saw a group of Old Testament prophets. He introduced himself and met Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, and Jonah. He had an interesting visit with them until Micah asked him the question, "How did you like the book I wrote?" He thought and thought, and he couldn't remember a thing from Micah. Well, that was just a dream. But I wonder how much you know about the book of Micah. It happens to be the first book that we're going to look at during this broadcast. As you know, we're studying the Emmaus Bible School Correspondence Course, Summary of the Bible. We're moving through the Bible rather rapidly, but we hope you'll go back and give more time to each book. And we'll be giving you our address at the close of the program so that you can get this fine course. Now continuing Lesson 7, and we're on page 3 of that lesson. The book is Micah, one of the minor prophets. His name means, "Who is like Jehovah?" The theme is judgment for Israel, but also God's grace and final restoration of Israel. Listen to this key verse, Micah 7:18. It's one of my favorites. By the way, some people find it hard to find the minor prophets. We'd encourage you to look up these verses that we read. Consult the index in the front of your Bible if necessary. Now let's look at that verse, Micah 7 and verse 18. "Who is a God like thee, who pardons iniquity, and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of his possession? He does not retain his anger forever, because he delights in unchanging love." Or, as one translation gives it, "He delighteth in mercy." Yes, and may we add that he's just the same today. He still delights to show mercy when we call upon him. He is the God of the down-and-outer and also of the up-and-outer. He is a God who delights in mercy to all sinners, if they will only turn to him in repentance. Micah's voice was heard in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, or about the same time frame as Isaiah. He addressed the people and rulers of Samaria and Jerusalem. Samaria and Jerusalem are the capitals of Israel and Judah. Because of their idolatry, injustice, and greed, these cities were doomed to destruction. However, out of a third city, Bethlehem, mentioned in Micah, the Messiah will come and reign in Zion over a spared remnant of his people. He will crush the Assyrians, their dreaded enemy, and bring peace to Israel. In that day, the remnant will say, "Who is a God like thee?" Let's pause for just a few moments of meditation. We've been reminded in this small book in the Old Testament that our God is a God who delights in mercy. And why can he show mercy to sinners? Because of the one who was born in Bethlehem. And yet, as it tells us here in Micah, his goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. No, our Savior did not have his beginnings in Bethlehem. He is the eternal Son of God. Have you ever bowed the knee to him and trusted him as your Savior? Remember, he still delights in mercy.
Thank you.
listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour, and we're continuing to look at the minor prophets. As we noted last time, they are minor in size only. Otherwise, they have a great big message for the people of their day as well as our day. Before we look at Nahum, we'd like you to know that we want you to write to us. We'd like this to be a two-way communication. So write to us after the program is over. Our address will be given as the closing theme music plays. Remember that we have many fine correspondence courses available if you're interested. Now the little book of Nahum, just three chapters. His name means comforter. His theme, Nineveh will be destroyed. Also, his message was one of consolation to Judah. At a time when the southern tribes were being threatened by the Assyrians, Nahum predicted not only that the enemy would be unsuccessful in taking Jerusalem, but that Nineveh would be utterly destroyed and never rebuilt. The battle against the capital of Assyria is described in great detail, including the overflow of the river and the devouring fire. Nahum looks upon Nineveh's ruin as God's just retribution on a wicked people. We're going to move on now to the book of Habakkuk. Now, not everybody pronounces it the same. Some people call it Habakkuk, but we won't argue over that. His name means embracer. The theme of the book is given in the second chapter and the fourth verse. The just shall live by faith. That's Habakkuk 2:4. And as some of you know, these words are repeated three times in the New Testament, so they must be very important. There are two great questions in Habakkuk. First, why did God fail to punish the sins of Judah? God's answer was that he would soon act in judgment by sending the Babylonians to chastise his people. But then Habakkuk was more distressed. Why should God punish Judah by a nation that was even more sinful? God replied with that verse, Habakkuk 2:4, "The just shall live by faith." In other words, those who really trusted in the Lord would be saved, while all unbelievers, including the ruthless Babylonian people themselves, would eventually be destroyed. These answers satisfied the prophet, so he closed with a prayer extolling God's majesty and expressing trust in him for the future. We come now to Zephaniah, another book with just three chapters. The name Zephaniah means he whom Jehovah has hidden. The prophet tells us that he ministered in the days of Josiah, king of Judah. There are two main themes of the book, God's judgment and his joy. First, Zephaniah tells of Judah's coming doom because of its idolatry. The day of the Lord will be a time of great wrath, trouble, and distress. The remnant is exhorted to repent so that they will be hidden from Jehovah's anger. Surrounding nations will also be punished for their wickedness. Indeed, the day of the Lord will mean universal judgment. No wicked person will escape. But Zephaniah also tells of Jehovah's joy in his restored people. Christ will return to earth in glory. The Jews will be gathered from captivity and will be a praise in the earth. When they are thus restored, God will rejoice over them with singing. Now the little book of Haggai, just two chapters long. His name means my feast. The theme of the book is rebuilding the temple. Haggai was among the first captives to return to Jerusalem after the 70-year exile. Under Zerubbabel's leadership, a group of Jews had journeyed back from Babylon and began to rebuild the temple. In his short prophecy, Haggai rebukes the people for allowing the temple to remain in ruins while they lived in fine homes. He tells them to consider their ways and build the house of the Lord, for the Lord was with them. He reminds them of their past disobedience in this respect and of God's judgments upon them. He encourages them that the Lord, the desire of nations, will come to the temple and that its future glory will be greater than its past. Finally, Haggai predicts that Jehovah will overturn the kingdoms of the earth, but will save his chosen ones. We have just two more books in the Old Testament, Zechariah and Malachi. The name Zechariah means Jehovah remembers. It was a common name in the Old Testament. 27 other people had this name beside this prophet. The theme of the book has to do with the two comings of the Messiah. As a prophet to the returned captive, Zechariah joined with Haggai in encouraging the people to complete the rebuilding of the temple. Zechariah tells us more about the Messiah than any other minor prophet. He prophesies his entry into Jerusalem, his betrayal for 30 pieces of silver, his wounds, his death as the smitten shepherd, his coming again to the Mount of Olives, and his millennial reign as high priest and king. He also speaks of the Lord as the branch and God's servant. Zechariah's picture of the coming glory was designed to stimulate the temple builders to renewed endeavor. I'm sure that you can see that this is a book that deserves much further study on your part. Malachi. His name means messenger. This last prophet of the Old Testament was probably active during the closing part of Nehemiah's governorship. This was about 400 years before Christ. The moral condition of the people was at an extremely low level. In the book of Malachi, we find God tenderly reasoning with the people while they dispute with him and justify their own condition. Malachi foresees the coming of Christ, preceded by his messenger, John the Baptist. Still later, he predicts the day of the Lord when the Son of Righteousness will arise in judgment on the ungodly, but in blessing on the faithful remnant who fear the Lord. And thus we close the Old Testament. And we've just touched on a few of the treasures there. Next time, we'll go on to the New Testament. And don't forget that we have a copy of this entire study course that we'd like to send to you. Write and ask for information on the course Summary of the Bible. Listen for our address in just a few moments. This has been the Emmaus Bible Hour.